We are back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN, and we're talking here with Jason Smith, Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. Dave, do we have a phone call? No. Okay, I saw the lights going off, so I wasn't sure. Oh, now he's taking a phone call, so we'll see. But spending some time here with Jason, and we do have a phone call now, so let's get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes, well pleased with your intelligent viewpoint on the business cycle and your well-educated presentation. What I wanted to talk about was how we can manipulate the economic engine from I-70 into town. And you've been paying the rent on that property out there at I-70 and 177 and all these months and all these years. And granted, it happens to be a little part of Gary County, but with that Flint Hills development tourist area you'd have there, you could include the waterfall at Gary County Lake, the wildlife rescue at Milford Lake, or the hatchery at Milford Lake, or with your military support, the Fort Riley Historical Museum, that new thing that's going in. To get some of that disposable income off of I-70 that doesn't even know the Flint Hills or Manhattan or any part of it is here, and they just blow right on through it. Of course, I always want to have a electric car charging center, and because it takes more than 10 minutes to charge those electric cars, and with the ones down there at the hotel, it gives them a chance to stay at the hotel at night, but they don't know about that. And of course, we talk about the proprietary charging for some of the other electric cars. It ends up on the electronic display in every electric car of that particular type across America that you have a charging center for that car right there. And of course, we know we've talked about no water out there at your property with the vending machines for the soda cans or the porta potties like you have at the country music facility. They have some really nice air-conditioned trailers. You could have a facility there with an evangelist tent up, of course, a big trailer sign billboard like they have out across America that you could run up and down the highway or park out there at a lighted area at night when the Department of Transportation isn't looking. But the opportunity to get that disposable income in off of I-70 and find out what a wonderful opportunity there is here in Flint Hills, I just would surely encourage you, even with a type A bond, you could build the building and have the water line brought out from where it ends now coming down 177, because the type A bond says out of state people. And by keeping track of the tags in the parking lot and the charge card locations and the sign into a welcome book, you could have the certification for your type A bond. There's just a lot of things I want you to look at with a fresh look, because if you're not figuring out a way to do it, you're not looking. Thank
you. All right. Thank you, Robert. Anything you want to add to that, Jason?
Yeah, there's several things actually, and I appreciate Robert calling. Let's start with the tourism angle. There is, and this may be for a broader discussion, but there is a lot of money right now that has flowed into the state of Kansas for a variety of uses from the rescue fund. And I believe that the state of Kansas got a $1.5 billion allocation, and a lot of that's going to be used to backfill the unemployment trust fund. But that still leaves, I believe, over $1 billion that a committee that has been established by the legislature to look at opportunities and for investing in different kinds of infrastructure projects around the state. So we will be visiting with the state about the opportunity to do something on that corner. And I don't know if that fits into their strategy, but it appears that the state could potentially have the resources if they have the will to do something there. And so we'll be pursuing that. I will also mention that There is Kansas Department of Transportation has received $2 million from the Volkswagen fund when Volkswagen has paid all the states for an issue. And they are putting all that into recharging centers. And so there's currently being RFPs that they're accepting for potential new stations. And so that's something that, of course, anybody can look at doing, and we'll continue to see if there's opportunities for that. So, yeah, there's actually been some movement where you at least can potentially tap some funding that we just don't have locally to do anything there. And we do put up billboards all along I-70 to get people to exit and come into Manhattan. But that has definitely been a piece of property that has provided some challenges in terms of being able to do anything on. So we'll see if either of these programs that have popped up will have any viability to help that area.
All right. You mentioned the money's coming from the federal government. There's a lot of stuff that's been coming down from Washington, D.C., and including the president's recent announcement of vaccine mandates on businesses of 100 or more employees. Has the chamber taken a position on this yet? Or I know there's still kind of a lot of hurdles for that to get through.
No, I mean, we obviously just came out last week, and we haven't even had any of our groups that have met since that has come up. But it was interesting. I was on a trade mission with some other communities in Kansas, and I don't know, a day or two after that came out, we all kind of sat around and said, anybody heard anything from any of their businesses? And it was like, no. So we were all a little surprised that we weren't getting phone calls about one way or the other about it. I still have not. And, this is certainly an invitation for any of those businesses that are impacted if they have some feelings about it to give us a call. I think we're still trying to figure out so I guess there's two pieces to this is in my mind from a business standpoint. One is for the businesses that get Medicare and Medicaid, and those are health facilities. That's a challenge for us to get into, because I think to me that gets into to more health issues, which we've tended to say that needs to be decided by health officials, not by business leaders. But the 100 employees are over, and that has been assigned to OSHA to administer, and which obviously historically, while OSHA has done a lot of good work in creating safety in the work environment, there have been tendencies in some administrations for there to be overreach. And so we just want to make sure that what that process looks like. And then the other thing that I think is probably important to look for is there at least are threats, if that hasn't happened yet, I'm not sure, of some lawsuits. And so, I think this is going to have to go through some court proceedings as well. And so what does that look like? And so I think it's a little early for us, again, number one, because we haven't heard anything from anybody, any of our businesses yet. So it's a little early for us to weigh in on it. But we are definitely keeping our eye on those mandates. And as I mentioned to you a little earlier, we are actually going to be making our annual trip to D.C. In 2 weeks to meet with the congressional delegation, and we'll do some investigation, hopefully get a little better idea after that trip what the specifics of that look like and kind of where that seems to be headed in terms of implementation, and as well as working on a couple other things, including we've talked about in here before the runway reconstruction. That's kind of hard to say. Runway reconstruction. The FCC has not FCC. The
FAA.
Yeah. Goodness gracious, has approved reconstructing it, but only at 100 feet wide, as opposed to 150 feet wide. If we don't get 150 feet wide, there are some military transports that can't land here, which obviously hurts us in terms of our readiness factors for Fort Riley, and we want to make sure that doesn't happen. And then there's some university-related things that require 150-foot wide runway. And so we have been actively advocating, whether it's FAA or Department of Defense, that there has to be other opportunities to get funding to make that runway the full 150 without it falling on Manhattan taxpayers. And we have received a little bit of promising news. The Department of Defense has a program called Defense Community Infrastructure Program, or DCIP. You'll hear it referred to as DCIP. And we submitted, it has to be a joint submission with a governing body and a military post or base. We did submit the airport. The runway expansion is our project, the one project that was endorsed by Fort Riley. And we did find out we were in the final consideration for that project with 12 other communities. And if history shows anything, that it's in all likelihood most of those projects have potential to get funded. And so that takes care of a really good size of that expansion. And if that's the case, that would be awesome, because again, that would save Manhattan taxpayers from having to eat those costs. And so that's really exciting. We will also be making sure that the opening of MBAF is continuing on schedule. They have hired a significant amount of their people, but we are obviously a year or so away from starting the transition of the science, the scientists from Plum Island and those positions. And so we want to make sure that continues to move forward. And then we want to make sure that opportunities for research and through the university continues to be there, and that we use those opportunities to potentially create new job opportunities from that innovation that comes out of the research. And so I think it's important for us to have a consistent voice in D.C. and the business community be heard, because it's unfortunate but true that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and so we need to make sure that we are advocating on behalf of Manhattan and our business community in Washington.
Going back to the airport runway just slightly, obviously it would be great if you get 100% federally funded. Probably not going to happen. Is there a threshold that the city officials are kind of looking at that they think that could be sustainable?
Yeah. So I believe, and I'm not an expert on this, but I believe the FAA funds 90% of the project. Okay. Now, in this scenario, they said we're only going to fund 90% of the 100-foot wide, which means the city would have been responsible for 100% of the additional 50 feet. And so this will allow, where it won't be the 100% of the 50 feet. And you know, construction costs continue to fluctuate, so it's impossible to say what percentage of that project that the grant will cover, but it would be a significant portion of that and would potentially leave the city with a much smaller portion than they would have otherwise if we didn't get the DCIP grant. And there are funds available starting at the beginning of 2023 based on the economic development sales tax that passed last year to help fill the gap that's left for this project. So it wouldn't have to come out of the general fund either way.
All right. Something that has to get done, that's for sure. And it's going to be a project that will force a closure of the airport temporarily there in 2023. We'll take a break, come back, and talk about some more things here with the Chamber. Jason Smith with us here on News Radio KMAN.